Good morning and welcome to a live morning classic session live from Studio B here at Montana Public Radio. I'm Michael Marsalek, and joining us across the hall from our main master control studio is Tanya Gabrielian. The pianist is here. Welcome.
Thank you. Good morning.
You've been in Montana for a little while.
Yeah, I got here last Saturday.
And played a concert and a number of outreach concerts as well already. You've got an event coming up this Sunday. You'll be performing as part of the Celebrate Piano series. It's a Sunday matinee show at the Music Recital Hall on the UM campus in Missoula. And we're thrilled that you took the time not only to join us yesterday on the children's show on the Pea Green Boat, but to do a session with us this morning.
Oh, thanks for having me.
That's wonderful. Well, I'd love to talk a little bit about you and your career and the music, but maybe get to a piece
first thing here.
And thank you for joining us and bringing your...
Otherwise, I'd stay in bed till noon, so it's good. Get me up.
Well, wonderful. What are you going to play first?
So I'm going to start two movements from the Bach C major violin sonata transcribed for piano. The first movement was transcribed by Bach, and the second was transcribed by Saint-Saëns. So, yeah, enjoy. What's better to start the day with than Bach?
Bach, live from Studio B here at Montana Public Radio.
Thank you.
Music of Bach, performed live from Studio B here at Montana Public Radio. Tanya Gabrielian here in the studio with us, playing live for this hour. Thank you so much for being here. It's beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
It's wonderful. And I have to tell our listeners, I'll tell you, it's nothing like sitting in the room right next to the piano here. It's just lovely for me, too. You're getting ready to do a concert again this Sunday and have been in Montana for a while.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll start with a little bit about what your time has been like. You did a concert for the Two Valleys Stage and Alpine Artisans.
Yeah,
that was last Sunday.
Lake on last Sunday.
Yeah. And then a number of informances, the public performance.
Yeah, we did 10 outreach concerts, which is really great to bring music out to all the schools in the area. So we had Monday off because of Martin Luther King. Thank you, Martin Luther. So then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we did all the school performances, getting the kids involved, introducing them to classical music, which was really cool.
It's been something that's been part of your mission and career, right? To work with students.
Yeah, absolutely. Education is where it's all at. It's you know, you got to leave this world better than you left it. And you have to start when they're young. You know, that's otherwise, if you don't expose them to music at a young age, it's very unlikely that they'll come to appreciate it later on. And classical music is the basis for pretty much every other type of music out there. So, you know, teaching them the fundamentals and opening their eyes to stuff that they wouldn't probably acknowledge otherwise if they didn't have that opportunity.
You also talk, if I remember reading on your website, you're an activist for the power of music in the world in general, aren't you?
It sounds a little grandiose, but I try.
No, I think it's important, though. That's a truth, right, about how you think about it?
Well, the music, art in general, comes from a place of great passion. So you have the power to influence people in a much more heartfelt way than other forms of communication. Like if I just give a speech about, you know, being nice to people, yeah, great, blah, 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 I'd fall asleep. But, you know, art has influenced people many times throughout history with, you know, different points of views, different ways. And music goes back to the point that we all feel the same things. We all understand each other in a way that we, you know, actually don't in society, sounds like sometimes, but we can all relate to music because it hits on the emotions that we all feel.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I find too, and this is true in the world of music and radio, and it's a global language that transcends all other languages in so many ways.
Yeah, people are a lot more similar than they are different.
Yes, yeah. Indeed. You've played all over the world. I noticed, certainly have played some of the major concert halls, Carnegie and the Kennedy Center, and do you have a favorite place that you've traveled or a favorite place that's on your wish list that you'd love to play?
Oh, I want to go to Antarctica. That'd be cool. I don't think there's not so many symphonies down there or concert halls, you know.
Right.
Not much of an audience. The penguins, I'm sure they'd appreciate music too. But I've never been to anywhere on Africa or South America, so I'm dying to go to those two places.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought Australia was pretty awesome. I mean, you never play in such an iconic place as the Sydney Opera House. That was sort of, you know, to pinch yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wonderful. And how often are you doing solo piano recital, this kind of work, recording kinds of things? And how often are you with symphony?
It depends. I just did a recording last month in Cincinnati of what you just heard of the whole CD's Bach transcriptions. So that should be coming out hopefully sometime this year. I mean, most of my work is solo recitals, and then concerti whenever I can get them with symphonies. I mean, it's always, you know, piano is a very lonesome instrument, so it's always good to play with people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what about chamber music? Do you get a chance to perform?
I love chamber music. This summer I ran a series in New York for chamber music, and I come from a background of string playing, so it gives me, I think, a different way of looking at how to play with other instruments. Yeah.
And you were here in Montana a couple of years ago for Festival Amadeus.
I came for Festival Amadeus, and mm-hmm. I also played in Bozeman for their piano series there. Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah, it's been great.
Well, that's
great. I like Montana.
Well, we're thrilled again to have you here. Once again, I'm talking with Tanya Gabrielian, who's here to perform as part of the Celebrate Piano Series, a series of five concerts that happened at the University of Montana in Missoula. Her Sunday performance will be at 3 o'clock at the Music Recital Hall. You can call 243-4581 for tickets or grizztix.com also for tickets. And we will have a couple of pairs of tickets to give away a little bit later on in our session today. I'd love to have you play something else. What do you have for us?
Well, on the spirit of outreach concerts, I'm going to play a piece called The Lark. It's probably my favorite piece to play. I whip it out as an encore. And it's about a lark. It's originally a song. I guess we're going heavy with the transcriptions today. A song by Glinka for voice and piano, and transcribed by Balakirev for piano solo. And I kind of like it more for piano than for voice and piano, but I'm biased. So, yeah, I play this for the kids and ask them sort of what animal do they think it is. And I think I got hippopotamus the other day. So, you know, I'll try to be as graceful as that. Yeah.
Wonderful. Tanya Gabrielian here at Studio B at Montana Public Radio. piano transcription of The Lark by Mikhail Glinka. Beautiful. Tanya Gabrielian is here with us in studio, playing live for us here on Montana Public Radio. Wonderful piece.
Thank you.
And I agree. I could hear the
hippo.
I can hear the song.
Okay.
And I love the variety and the difference that the just solo piano brings.
Yeah.
You studied viola as well, correct?
I play violin and viola also. Well, and I also did flute, but I was miserable at that. Yeah.
Do you think the string background changes how you are as a pianist?
I think it changes the way you think of a line or a phrase. Articulation on a string instrument is very different. So mm-hmm. I often write, up bow, down bow in my piano music, and how you hear a line. I mean, for piano is a percussive instrument. Once you play a note, that's it. It just decays versus a string instrument where you can keep it going. So you try to emulate the sound of a violin at times to try to make it more lyrical than mm-hmm. just, percussive.
You studied at the Royal Academy in London mm-hmm. and also at Juilliard.
Yeah.
Do you think about your trajectory? I mean, it's interesting. I was even reading that you have an engineering background as well, or
no,
an interest.
I was an alternative life. In a parallel universe, I'm an engineer. But, I mean, I do think that sort of my personality type wasn't meant for a piano as a musician, as
an
artist.
What made you decide finally that music is my life?
Free education. No, the story's a little more dramatic than that. I had an accident where I was in hospital for a month. I was doing kung fu. And I fell on my head, basically, and I protected my hands so I wouldn't damage my hands for the piano. So I was in hospital for a month, shaking. I damaged nerves in my spine and broke up my face. And during that hospitalization, I listened to music nonstop. I mean, there's nothing else you can do when you're sort of laying in bed, So that was the first time I actually listened to music recreationally. Mm-hmm. I don't listen to music when I finish practicing because it's like I've listened to it all day. It's not very relaxing for me. So that was the first time I sort of saw the power of music and how it's able to really uplift you. And, I've always felt this calling to do something that helps people. And music often seems like a very selfish pursuit that, you're promoting yourself. You're going on stage and having people stare at you and you're under a spotlight and, messes with your mind when you think about it objectively what you're doing at a concert. So that was sort of the way that I brought it back down to earth and said, it can really help people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Would love to have you play something more for us.
Play something more. Okay, what about a love song? Let's play some Chopin.
Sounds lovely.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Tanya Gabrielian here at the keyboard at Montana Public Radio Studio B, music of Chopin, a nocturne there. What nocturne is that?
C-sharp minor. I can't remember the opus number off the top of my head. 27 number one, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. 27 number one. Beautiful.
Thank you.
Wonderful to
hear
you.
Yeah, he's a good composer. He's got
good.
His moments.
Do you have a favorite composer?
I actually hadn't played Chopin for like 15 years before this year. This summer, I was like, oh, let's play some Chopin. It's about time.
Mm-hmm.
I generally like sort of, you know, late romantics, post-romantics, and I've gotten super into Bach recently. Mm-hmm. I have a soft spot for Haydn. I mean, it really depends on the weather. Today, I feel like I'm not quite awake yet, so it's a Bach day so far.
Well, you said your new recording will be Bach.
Bach transcriptions. Yeah.
Other projects that you're thinking about doing or things that you'd like to do?
Well, my next solo program will be all violin transcriptions on piano. So it's all stuff that I've played on the original instrument also. So I have a version of the Spring Sonata, Beethoven's Spring Sonata for piano. And,
wow.
You know, I'll play the Zugana Rising a little later. Transcription that I did of Sarasate's, you know, famous piece.
Right.
Yeah.
Wonderful. You're going to be doing a program, of course, the big concert on Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. You're also doing today at 3 o'clock a masterclass,
yeah,
on campus, and
students.
I understand that's free and open to the public.
Yeah, come on by.
3 o'clock music recital hall here at the university in Missoula. How often do you get to do that kind of work with college students,
it's super
piano
fun.
Students?
Whenever I'm at a university or conservatory, I make sure that I get a chance to work with the students if at all possible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was curious, too, about just as we often talk about the music and the different performance opportunities, but as a musician making a career as a pianist, how much time are you spending networking and working with people and trying to get to that next connection, which is required, you know?
The actual playing portion is probably about 5% of the whole industry,
yeah.
You know, not even.
Yeah.
I mean, you could hypothetically be the greatest pianist in the world, and if nobody hears you, you know, what is that doing? So, yeah, there's a lot of that stuff that I, you know, if anyone knows how to do it, please teach me. I'm miserable at it. Yeah.
I know that's something that is probably unknown or not very well known to the average person that goes to a concert, how much time you really spend on logistics and on travel.
Oh,
and
so much. I also think the qualities that you need to be a good promoter make you a horrible person, you know, like or just to go on stage. Like if I'm that person in my real life, I would not want to hang out with myself. So I very much divide myself into it. It's like, that's work, Tanya, you know, and I can be the real Tanya once I get off stage and get off the phone calls.
I interviewed a musician some years ago who talked about he made his rehearsal space the beautiful space in the house with the view, with the comfort. It was perfect. And then made the business office in a place where he did not want to be. So that he would go there and he would do that work and want to get out of there to get back to the beautiful rehearsal space.
See, I don't want to practice either, so I would just put everything in the same room.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's a complicated thing. Do you have what do you have on the horizon for this year? You have other
couple things.
Solo things. I saw.
I'm going to California. I'm going to the West Coast next. So I'll be in California, Oregon. D.C., Virginia. Next concertos are with the string orchestra in New York, so that'll be Bach and Finzi, which is a piece that I had never heard of, a little Saint-Saëns piece. I mean, I'll do whatever you hire me for, pretty much. So, yeah, the one piece that I'm dreaming to play, though, is there's a Beethoven transcription he did himself of the violin concerto. And it's the same orchestration other than the cadenza, which has a timpani in it. But I think Beethoven did that so he could get more money. And, you know, I can relate as a musician. But the thing about music, I think it works on any instrument, whatever shape or form, which is why I do so many transcriptions. You're not so worried about sort of the little details rather than the overall feeling of it. I love music. I'll play whatever you want me to do. Other than maybe Stockhausen today, because I'm too tired for that.
Well, what do you have on their program for Sunday that you
Sunday.
Tease
so,
us with something?
Okay, I'm starting with a Bach French Suite. I actually played like in my third competition ever in my life. I played two of the movements from that French Suite, and I did not win. So I hope I've gotten better since then. So yeah, the second French suite, and then the C major violin transcription, which is what I played first here. And that will I'm sure has never been heard in Missoula before, because my friend wrote the last movement. So it's a hodgepodge of different composers putting this piece together. So Bach did the first movement, Saint-Saëns did the second two, and then my friend Arturo Cardelis is a Spanish composer based in L.A. He wrote the final movement for that. Then second half will be Kinderscenen, Schumann's great piece for scenes of childhood. Two Chopin nocturnes, and then a Ziegener Weizen transcription of the Sarasate work. Yeah.
Wonderful. Wonderful. And you, I understand you get to go back home to New York for a little bit after this.
I'm going
this
home for 2 weeks, yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah, sleep. Hibernate.
Get caught up on all those things.
Well,
that
we're getting
you
a snowstorm over there, so I don't know if I can get back okay.
Well, yeah, hopefully by... Maybe they'll clear things
They're
up by Monday.
They're not so used to it over there like you are here.
Yes, indeed. Well, once again, the master class is at 3 o'clock this afternoon at the Music Recital Hall. Is that right? Is that the recital hall?
It's at three, yeah.
At 3 o'clock today. And then the concert is at 3 o'clock on Sunday, again at the Music Recital Hall on the UM Missoula campus as part of the Celebrate Piano Series. There's yet a fifth concert in that series coming up Sunday, April 17th, with a wonderful duo coming in. More on that as we get a little bit closer to that as well. Well, you're going to play another transcription for us, right?
Yeah, I'm going to play the Sarasate, and it's from, I played it this summer with a violinist in Minnesota, and I was listening to it, and I was like, you know, I don't normally tend to go for pieces that are very virtuosic in nature, but audiences like you to end with something loud and fast so they know when to applaud. So I was like, okay, let's turn this into a piano piece. And I think it works well. I would like to think it works well on the piano. You can tell me otherwise. So come on Sunday and tell me to my face. But yeah, no, it's fun. It makes use of the piano as for what it has to offer that a string instrument doesn't. Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, I'd love to hear that piece, and maybe we'll have just a moment at the end as well. Other events coming up, I'll tell you about too. This is Tania Gabrielian here in Studio B performing live Pablo Sarasate, Ziegener Weizen. Thank you. A transcription of Zigeunerweisen by Pablo de Sarasate. Wonderful. So great to hear you play. Whose transcription is that?
Mine.
Is that yours?
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Just wonderful. It's so great to hear that piece. I think it holds so well for piano, too.
Thanks.
It's interesting.
I have more chance of being in tune than most violinists do, so I got that on my side.
Yes, indeed. Well, it's been wonderful having you here. I want to mention some events coming up and some other things, and then we'll have some tickets to give away here in just a moment as well for the concert. Pianist Tanya Gabrielian is here with us in studio. The performance will be Sunday as part of the Celebrate Piano Series. It's at 3 o'clock at the Music Recital Hall on the UM Missoula campus. There are other events as well, including a masterclass from 3 to 5 today, also at the Music Recital Hall in Missoula. And a Meet the Artist event will be happening at 2 o'clock on Sunday before the concert. That's in room 105 in the Music Building. There's also concerts coming up. The fifth concert in the Celebrate Piano Series will be Sunday, April 17th, with the piano duo Lomazov and Rackers coming to perform. And then another concert coming up on February 9th will feature Stephen Hessler and Christopher Hahn performing Bartok's Sonata for Two Pianos and Percussion with special guest percussionists. That'll be Tuesday the 9th. Lots of things happening. You can go to the university's music department website for tickets for this concert on Sunday. It's grizztix.com or call 243-4581. And before I say farewell, I'll just let listeners know, if you'd like a pair of tickets to see Tanya perform on Sunday, we'll take callers right now. Callers 3 and 4 at 800-325-1565 or 243-4931. That's for a couple of pairs of tickets for Sunday's concert. Well, it's just great to have you with us.
Thanks so much for having me. Please come on Sunday.
I understand you're a kawaii artist playing our kawaii piano.
I'm a kawaii artist, yeah, recording artist. So it's a joy to play on a kawaii, yeah.
Wonderful. Well, it's been fabulous having you give up your morning as part of a very busy week to play for Montana again.
My pleasure. Thanks
we're
for listening.
We're certainly maximizing your time in Montana, aren't we?
Might as well.
Thank you so much for being here. I'm Michael Marsalek. Thanks to Tanya Gabrielian. Thanks to our studio engineer, Beth Ann Austin. You've been listening to a live session from Studio B here at Montana Public Radio.